Amen. Well, good morning, Blue Mountain. Happy Resurrection Day. Good to see you all. You can all have a seat. Ooh, that's different. Is it good to be back in the house on Easter? Remember a year ago? That was crazy, right? You know, and as we were putting together our Easter services and Jenny and I talking and praying and the whole team coming together, really just felt the Lord speak and say that, you know, the last year has been absolutely crazy. We couldn't have foreseen the things that have happened, and we've experienced a lot of darkness, a lot of loss, and a lot of stuff, you know. But through it all, He is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just felt the Lord saying that He wanted us to praise Him and to have that hope and that joy restored in our hearts, to remember who He is and what He has done, that you would leave here with a new, perhaps for the first time, or a rekindled understanding of how much He loves you and what He has done for you. That's why we called our message today, That's What Love Did. Because in the beginning was love. Now, He has existed outside of space and time. He is the one who always was, always is, and always will be. He is all present. He is all knowing. He is all powerful. He is the source of all knowledge, and He created wisdom. And in His wisdom, He decided to use all of His resources, all of His ability, and all of His love to create, to build something for Himself that He could invest in and give of Himself. So in the beginning, love spoke. He breathed, and the universe exploded into existence. Billions of stars blazed into glory. And they weren't just thrown happenstance across the cosmos. Each one of them hung with precision. Each one a testament to the grand designer. Galaxies, solar systems, and planets, immeasurable, beyond comprehension. And of all the things that He created, of all those planets, He chose one. One that He was going to invest in and demonstrate the depths of His love. He took that planet and He placed it at the exact location distant from its star, that it would be warm, but not too hot that it would incinerate us, and not too far from that sun that we would be plunged into this icy darkness. He set it on its axis, and He gave it a moon to give it gravity. He set it in orbit around this sun to give it seasons. And then the grand designer, He went to work. He began to create as only an artist can. He separated light from darkness, separated land from water. He created mountains and valleys and forests and deserts and trees and vegetation. And in His wisdom, He put a plan in place. He created the seed. Now think about a seed. The smallest of items on this planet, which is small in size and compared to the rest of the universe. And yet from this small seed would come all life. That this seed would now grow and reproduce. And so this system was in place that not only these vegetations, these plants could grow and exist, but they would multiply and expand. That was His plan. But love wasn't done. Love really got to work when His imagination took over and began to create animals to inhabit this giant but not so giant playground. Only an imagination flowing of love could imagine and create the wonder of an elephant, the splendor of a blue whale, the grace and awe of an eagle soaring on the winds, the diligence and discipline and organization of a colony of ants. Only an artist with a sense of humor could reveal himself by creating the aardvark, the armadillo, a platypus. And the love wasn't done. And all these things, all of nature, all of creation spoke to and pointed to Him. And though all the animals could reveal His design, none of them could attain what love desired, wanted most, companionship. Love wanted a friend. And so love spoke again. And love said, let us create man and woman in our image. And from the dust of the earth, He created the first man. And from that man came the first woman, created to be His equal partner, His helpmate in this grand adventure. This was the pinnacle. This was the apex of all His creation. Because man was different from everything else. Because only man had the ability to talk, to communicate with love, to walk with Him in this perfect place where He had been placed. Only man had a soul that would live forever. And then love did the most unimaginable and dangerous thing possible. Love gave the man and the woman the ability to choose to love him in return. He didn't hardwire it into their being. He didn't mandate it. He didn't remove the ability to reject him. In fact, he placed an object right in the middle of this paradise that was an opportunity for them to reject him, because love, in its wisdom, understood this most powerful concept, that the truest, most meaningful thing that could ever happen would be to be loved freely in return. That love not freely given is meaningless. That's what love did. And so love put man and woman in this garden, in this paradise, and it didn't take long for love to be rejected. Man spat in the face of love, chose to reject it, chose to disregard what it had said, chose to not trust in this love because it didn't understand it. Man chose sin. Man chose to pursue his own stuff. Man to pursue his own ways. Man listened to the lie of the enemy who had snuck in and whispered, and all the enemy wanted to do was to steal and kill and destroy what love had created. Man listened to it, and in so doing, rejected love, rejected God, and in so doing, he chose death. Sin entered the world, and death entered the world. As a result of sin, man would no longer, not only would he not live in this world, but he would die twice. He would die forever. His soul would die eternally, forever separated from love because of the choices he had made. Now, love could have turned its back, could have given up, could have walked away from its creation, could have left it to its own devices, but that's not what love did. From the moment man turned his back on love, love set in motion a plan to redeem, to restore, to get back, to set free what had been stolen. Love said, I will show you the way. That's what love did. And for the next few thousand years, love was relentless in its pursuit of a relationship with mankind. He created a chosen race of people who said, these will be the representatives of my relationship with all of mankind. He established a nation literally at the crossroads of the entire world, where all other nations were constantly invading and trying to claim it, but would be repelled by forces they didn't understand. This nation held elite status for so long people couldn't understand it. Still, man continued to reject love, continued to do their own things. Love said, well, let me give you some advice. Let me show you how. And love gave us 10 commandments, guidelines to kind of follow to help us understand this relationship with us, between us and God and each other. But even those 10 commandments were a bit too much for us to follow. People still continued to choose to reject love, to do their own, to choose sin, and in choosing sin, choose death. Love didn't give up. Love never hid the plan from anybody. Love told us exactly what the plan was going to be. He said what he was going to do. He said where he was going to do it. And he said what it would look like when it happened, so that when it happened, we would understand what it was. That this was the promise being fulfilled. It was an outrageous plan. It was a daring plan behind enemy lines to ransom what had been stolen. And so when love shows up in the form of a helpless baby, almost defied understanding. Now, love gave of itself yet again. Love gave again in that he gave a part of himself. He sent his own seed, his own son, into the world, not to walk as a God, but to walk as one of us, to walk as a human. Love wasn't born to the richest and the noblest in the world. Wasn't born in a palace with splendor and majesty. Love was born to a humble girl who simply trusted in the voice of love, who she had never seen, but she had experienced. Love was born in a feeding trough, in a cave, in a nondescript town from an unsavory part of the country, the least among us. And all that was gave witness to it was a whole bunch of angels and a few shepherds. But they testified and they said, this is love. This is the promise being fulfilled. This is God in the flesh. This is the Savior, the Messiah, the one who has come to set his people free. That's what love did. and love was named Jesus. From the beginning, love confounded the expectations of everybody around him. He grew in wisdom and in stature. He was patient, waiting for the exact right time to reveal himself. And when he did, when he revealed himself, there was no question in anybody's mind that something never before seen was happening. Something was unfolding that had never been experienced before, that they were seeing true, incredible, real, everlasting love. Because what love did was, love healed the sick of every kind of sickness and disease. He cast out demons, setting people free from demonic oppression, from mental stress, from mental slavery, mental emotional slavery. He raised the dead, demonstrating his authority over all things. He commanded the winds and the waves, demonstrating his authority over all things that he had created, he had spoken into being. He did miracles. He fed thousands of people with nothing more than table scraps. That's what love did. Everywhere he went, he had compassion for those who had been wounded and broken by chasing after false love. And he demonstrated what real love looked like. He cared for the wounded, the broken, the barren, the mute, the lame, the deaf, the blind. He challenged the rich and the religious, the skeptics and the stone throwers. He met the sinner right where they were and said, "Go and sin no more." That's what love did. He began to unpack the word from the Father that had been given for thousands of years and began to help us to understand it in a new and living way, to show us what this relationship with love looked like. Began to teach us, began to expand our understanding of it. He began to teach us, and so that we would understand that love was not some unobtainable standard of perfection, but that love was a condition of the heart, tender towards God, humble before him, and receiving love of the Father. It was all building to this moment, the ultimate act of love that was incomprehensible, when love was once again rejected and betrayed by those closest to him. Because even the ones who had walked with love, stood by him, saw it up close and personal for years, allowed petty, jealousy and envy and pride and fear and the trappings of this temporary life to blind them to the truth of the abundant life that had been promised to them. They traded away the eternal blessing for a temporary gratification, only to find that it didn't satisfy. And so love was handed over to the ruling authorities, who were threatened by this upstart, this man who dared to defy them, who dared to say that he could forgive sins, who dared to claim that he was God in the flesh. They colluded with the local government to have this scourge removed from their midst so they could solidify their hold on power over people. And so love was mocked and taunted and beaten and then whipped to the point where he was no longer recognizable as a human being. His skin hanging in tatters and shreds, the blood pouring from his body. Love was forced to carry the instrument of his execution to a place of public humiliation outside the city for all to see. Love was put to death in one of the most barbaric forms of torture ever invented by mankind. Love was crucified. Nails put through his hands and through his feet. His naked body hung for all to see and all to laugh at and all to mock. Love hung on a cross and slowly suffocated to death for hours. Love could have called down a host of angels to rescue him. Love could have called down fire and lightning to incinerate his accusers and his tormentors. Love could have simply spoken the word and the very earth would have stopped spinning, the entire universe ceasing to exist because it all exists by the word of his power. But that's not what love did. Love hung on a cross and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's what love did. Love hung on a cross to pay the debt for all the times that we had rejected him. And when the debt was paid, he said, "It is finished." And the breath of life went out of his lungs. The very breath that he had breathed into the first man went out. His body came down. They put it in a rock tomb where it was guarded by the elite special forces of the Roman army. For 3 days and nights, love lay in a tomb. while the rest of his enemies celebrated and cheered, thinking that they had won, that they had beaten God, they had killed God. But love wasn't finished, because the seed had been planted in the ground, just waiting for the right moment to spring to life. And after 3 days and nights, no force on earth could stop the stone from being rolled away. And love walked out of the tomb with the keys of hell and death in his victorious right hand. That's what love did. Love paid the price for all of our sin. And because he was obedient to the will of the Father, because he loved, the Father was obedient to his promise to his Son to not allow him to undergo death and decay. Love brought him back to life. That's what love did. See, the seed has come to fruition, because the promise was, not only would that promise for Jesus be the true, but for all those who would believe in this sacrifice and his resurrection would receive the same benefit. The seed come to fruition now. That one sacrifice has resulted in freedom for untold billions of people. One death has resulted in life for all. That's what love did. Love wasn't done. Love once again walked with his friends, talking with them, encouraging them, comforting them, restoring the ones who had returned from and had ran from and rejected him in fear. They had repented, and so he restored them. And then he commissioned them. He said, go and do for others what I've done for you. Love others the way I've loved you. And keep doing that until all the world, until every man, woman, and child on the planet has had an opportunity to experience this love and had the opportunity to accept it or to reject it. And then love gave two more promises. First, he said, I'm going to give again. I'm going to give a part of myself yet again. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. He will be with you always. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will lead you into all understanding. He will help you come to experience and understand the abundant life that our Father has promised for you. And secondly, he said, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back on clouds of glory with hosts of angels beside me. For once and for all, put away evil. That's what love's going to do. That's what love did. See, the war's over. The battle's already been done. It's done. There's no force on earth that can stop it. The war is done. That's what love did. The battle continues today. The battle continues with you and the cross sinners. Because on one side is still this enemy who wants nothing else yet but to steal and kill and destroy what love has created. And on the other side is the living example and representation of true eternal love, who created everything there is and gave all that he had, gave his very best for one purpose: to have a relationship with you, because he loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but would have eternal life. That's what love did. Love is offering itself today. Will you accept it? Amen. It's Easter. We're going to do something that we've never done before, except for last night on Easter weekend, which is celebrate communion. Sound good? The night before he was rejected and betrayed, love shared a meal with his closest friends. And we have a surprise for you. Want a surprise? Judy's like, oh, what a surprise. For communion, backed by unpopular demand, we have these things. We also have real bread. The night before his betrayal and crucifixion and death, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. He took the cup. He said, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins for all mankind forever. He said, as often as you eat this meal and you drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I return. And so on Resurrection Sunday, it's good to remember what Jesus has done, what love did for us. So we're going to invite you all to come on up. You don't have to be a member. It's an open table. Band's going to lead us in song. It's a celebration song. I encourage you, come up. Whichever you do you, okay? Whichever you feel comfortable with. We have both. But for me, I'm tearing off a nice big chunk of bread. I'm absolutely going to dunk it in this juice here. Go back to our seat and just celebrate and rejoice in what love did. Before we do that, I'm going to ask everyone here to close your eyes for just a second. Because this is what it's all about. Because God so loves you. He wants a relationship with you. Maybe you're here or watching live stream or listening by radio and you're saying, I have never before understood or heard how much God loves me. And I want a part of that. I want to accept his love today. If you're making that decision, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand so I can agree with you. I see you there. Anyone else? Secondly, maybe you're saying, you know what? I was one of those who rejected that love, walked away from it for whatever reason, but today I'm coming back. I'm being restored to that love. If that's you, raise your hand. Okay. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Just ask you to repeat it one sentence at a time after me, if you would, please. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you love me. I don't understand it. I certainly don't feel deserving of it. But it doesn't matter what I think, because you see me as valuable. You love me, Lord, so much you gave your life for me. So today, Lord, I give my life to you. I'm done running from your love. Today I'm running to you. And I thank you for the peace and the joy and the comfort and the purpose that you give me as a result. I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. I live for you because you died for me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.